Everybody have a good afternoon. If you need a good nap, just watch golf. I love golf. I like to play golf. I like to watch golf, but I usually don't get to watch much of it because you just fall asleep, right? I did beat Damien in NHL 2020 today for the first time, so he's not over here, but I'm bragging about it while he's not here. But here's what I had to do. He's always the Washington Capitals, and on that game, the Washington Capitals is really good, right? So I picked the All-Star team. You know, you can pick the team, and they're, like, way better than the Capitals because it's the best of the best. So I beat him. He handled it really well for Damien, who hates to lose in anything. So you wouldn't think Damien's competitive, but is he competitive? Chess, whatever, he just doesn't like to lose. Is there anything wrong with that? Is anything wrong with it? I mean, we should want to win. Huh? We should be our best. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with wanting to win. Man, Little League, these days, they don't even keep score. They get a participation trophy. Right? Show up, play. If you lose every game, you still get a trophy. Man, some of my old coaches, Coach Timberlake, Coach Baker, and those folks, they are like, what are you thinking? Right? Huh? In your face. That's what we teach the young ones these days, right? They participate, they automatically get something. Anyway, I'm glad that Damien, my stepson, doesn't want to lose. There ain't nothing wrong with that. He needs to get a little bit better when he does lose, and he is getting better at that, on how to take that. Because you can't win them all, right? You just got to give it your best at all times, right? Man, and I tell you, Damien and London and Brianna have it way better than Kendall had it. I was, man, first kid, you know how it is, first kid, you're learning to be a parent. Man, I was strict, I was hard on Kendall, man, sports was crazy. I remember going up to the pitcher's mound, she couldn't throw a strike to save her soul, and she wasn't but 8 years old. What are you doing? Throw a strike. You know what I mean? Expect the best in your kid. It scarred her for life, I think, but I think it's, she also reflects, hopefully she reflects back on those days of those hard times and hard conversations. Me pushing her has helped her get to where she is today. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. I'm thankful to be saved above anything and everything. And on the worst of days, we ought to go back to when Jesus Christ saved us and remember what he saved us from. I tell you, if God would open up the pit of hell for 5 minutes, and we looked at what we deserve, we're liable to change a little bit. On the worst of days, no matter what you're going through in life, reflect back on that day when Jesus Christ saved you. That's something to rejoice in that, right? Be happy about. To be happy about. I'm going to be in Genesis 22 today, or tonight. Genesis 22. Very familiar text. Now, it was quarter to seven when I started. I can promise you we're going to getting out of here way before 7:30 tonight. Way before 7:30. I was talking to Damien about it. I said, Damien, I said, I don't think this message is about 20 minutes long. He said, I've never read in the Bible anywhere. I don't think it says you've got to preach for a certain amount of time. He goes, don't worry about it. That's encouragement that I get. Are you with me on that? So I asked him, I said, Damien, you got one in your pistol just in case I get up there and I choke? He goes, yeah, I can come up with something. That's what he said. Yeah, I can come up with something. Anyway, Genesis 22. Let me ask you a question. Is there something in your life right now? Is there something in your life right now that God wants you to surrender and lay down at his feet? Is there something in your life right now that God wants you to surrender and to lay down at his feet? Maybe it's a lost child or a lost loved one that keeps you kneeling at the altar with the inability to get up and move forward. Maybe it's a great disappointment in your life that keeps you from living out the purposes that God has for you. Maybe it's a career that you love so much that it's affecting your marriage and family negatively. An addiction, an area of sin that keeps you from the blessing of God that He wants you to have. A tragedy or a painful experience from your past that continues to keep you paralyzed. What is it? Is there something in your life right now that God wants you to bring to this altar and leave it here? What do you do when God wants you to lay something down? When God's picking at your heart, saying, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. What do you do? It's hard. Isn't it hard sometimes to lay down something that's got your mind all occupied or you love it so much? It's hard to leave it at the altar, isn't it? Genesis 22, 1 through 19 here is a perfect example of laying down something in your life that means so much. Y'all all know this story. It's a story of Abraham sacrificing his son, Isaac. Genesis 22, I'll read in verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. Think about this. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything on thing unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Continuing on in 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in a blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together into Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. I want to thank you for saving me, Lord. I want to thank you for using me. Lord, I just ask that you be with everyone here tonight, that we'd have attentive hearts, that we'd have open hearts, open minds, that we would be overwhelmed by your presence here today, that you'd get the glory in everything that's said and done. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Laying down your Isaac. Can you imagine? Can you imagine God asking you to surrender your child? To sacrifice him on the altar. Philip, could you imagine that? God telling you to sacrifice Jackson. This is exactly what God asked Abraham to do here, right? It's to surrender Isaac. And when I started reading in verse 1, there's so many things that you can preach out of it and talk about in this scripture. Faith, trust. You could talk about Isaac, Abraham probably being a good fatherly figure. Why? Because he didn't have to drag Isaac up the mountain. Right? It says that they got up early the next morning and Isaac went with his dad, what? To worship the Lord. You could preach on that about Abraham being a good godly father. You can also talk about Isaac being a good godly son. He was obedient to his dad. Upon almost to death. It didn't say that he struggled when Abraham strapped him down and binded him down, did it? It didn't say that he struggled and tried to run from his dad. Take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That's what it says in verse 2. It probably would have been enough for God to simply say, just take your son. Just take your son. But he didn't say that. He added to the phrase. He added to this phrase three ways. He said, take your only son. Your only son. Now, he wasn't forgetting that Ishmael was his son also, but the meaning is that Isaac was what? The promised son. Isaac, take your only son, Isaac. Isaac, the son of who Abraham and Sarah had waited for how long? Years, 25 years, I think it was, that they had waited for this son, whom you love so much. Now, isn't this the obvious? Why'd God have to point that out to Abraham? Take your son, your only son, Isaac, who you love so much. Why do you think God told him that? Did he have to hear that? I can tell you why. Because God wanted Abraham to know that he knew, meaning God, how hard that was going to be. He wanted him to recognize that I'm asking you to give the one thing that you love. It wasn't underscoring it. You follow what I'm saying? God knew very well what he was asking Abraham to do. It's a picture of Jesus here, right? Is it not? It's a picture here. Let me ask you, how exactly do you do it? How do you do that? How do you lay down something you love or care about so much? How do we do it? How did Isaac do it? I mean, how did Abraham do it? I think by surrendering some things. He had to surrender some things. I think he had to surrender his mind, his thought life. Isn't our mind dangerous? Is it not? Man, my mind can go off on something sometimes. I'm like, what in the world are you thinking about that for? How about your emotions? And thirdly, your will. Abraham surrendered his mind. He had to. You think about this. God is asking him to sacrifice his only son. Can you imagine what was going on in his mind? What would be going on in your mind? It's important to remember that Abraham was not some supernatural person, was he? He wasn't a supernatural person. I said it this way this morning. He puts his pants legs on one at a time just like we do, but they didn't wear pants back in those days, so you can't say that. But you understand what I'm talking about. The Apostle Paul the same way. All these great men of the Bible are the same. They breathe just like we do. They walk like we do. There's nothing supernatural about them except what Jesus is doing in and through them. It's important to remember that Abraham is not a supernatural person or being. He was a human, flesh and blood, no different than us. And just like us, he had a thought life, and he had feelings, and he had desires. There's no doubt about it. Abraham had to surrender his mind here, his thoughts. He had to surrender what made sense, or in this case, what didn't make sense. I would have been asking, God, why are you asking me to do this? You promised me a son. You gave him to me. Now you want me to sacrifice him. I would imagine he was thinking maybe this makes absolutely no sense. How am I to be a father of many nations without a son to carry it on? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to understand everything. God directs you to do something, you just do it. Leave him up to figure it out, right? And trust in him. Emotions. Abraham had to surrender his emotions, his feelings, his affections. When Abraham was walking up that mountain to build an altar with his son Isaac, I have to imagine that as any parent, I'm putting myself here, loving this child, he had to be holding back and fighting back tears. He had to be. Of course, his heart was crushed. He was burdened with this task that God had asked him to do. And he loved Isaac so much. He had to surrender his mind, his emotions. He had to surrender his will. What he really wanted to do. I don't think Abraham wanted to do this. How many times in your life has God asked you to do something or lay something down that you didn't want to do? As a parent, as a father, I'm sure Abraham really wanted to grab Isaac and head back home, spend many more years with him, watch him grow up, right? Wouldn't we all want that? But he surrendered his will for God's will. Luke 24:42 says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This was truly a test for Abraham, surrendering his mind, surrendering his emotions, and surrendering his will, surrendering his son, Isaac. And it's a test for us as well, having to surrender or lay something down that we care about so much, surrendering all of our thoughts, surrendering our feelings, surrendering our desires for what God is asking us to do. Abraham passed the test, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say he passed the test? God spared Isaac's life, provided them a ram to be sacrificed in his place. And we see that Abraham is blessed for his obedience. In verses 17 and 18 of 22, it says, that in a blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Who's he talking about here? Jesus is traced all the way back to Abraham. Amen? Because of obedience. The first step in laying something down is we have to surrender our mind and our emotions and our will. We have to surrender. Let's go a little bit farther. What in your life is God asking you to not just lay down, but to let it go and walk away? Is there anything in your life that God is asking you to lay it down at the altar, leave it there, and walk away? There was a time in my life when because of past sin in my life and some sin I was dabbing in, that I often struggled how God could use somebody like me. I never had suicidal thoughts or anything like that, but I had some deep pain of past sin that was in my life. And Satan just kept bringing up that sin and bringing up that sin and bringing up that sin and saying, there's no possible way that God could use you. I wouldn't say I got depressed, but you know, I fell into going to church and going through the motions because I felt like I could not be used. And I remember one night, hey, you don't have to come to this altar. Use an altar at your house. I fell down beside my bed and I cried out to God with everything I had in me to give me something to do. And for the first time, I really surrendered to the point of, I'm not worrying about this no more. I don't care what people say anymore. I don't care what people think about me anymore. For God's sakes, if the Apostle Paul can be used and you can use me for something, I don't care what past sin I had, all that's under the blood. And I left it there. And man, ever since that moment, God has opened up opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for me to tell men, to help men with something that I struggle with in my life. And He keeps opening the doors. Even just the other day, Danielle and I was in Roanoke Friday, and the God opened the door wide open, and we need to go back and see that man because he mentioned something. We was looking at a stinking vehicle, and here this man is, opens the door wide open. God opens the door wide open for something that I've been through in my life right there at a car dealership. I'm going to go back and see him. I left it at the foot of my bed that night. I don't care what people say about this. I don't care what people say about that. I know I've had some bad things happen in my life, but I'm not who I used to be. And God can use me. What in your life is God asking you to not just lay down, but to let it go? Leave it there. Get up and walk away from it. What is it? When you lay down something that you love and care about, your faith and trust is tested. Whether it's laying down a relationship, the feelings of deep sorrow for losing a loved one, a great disappointment in your life, and that's what I had to lay down, a disappointment in my life, a job, a career you have worked so hard for, an area of sin that has enslaved you for so many years you don't know what to do, or past hurts, painful experiences. Past hurts, painful experiences that's got you so wrapped up in it that God can't use you. It's affecting your family, possibly. What is it? Do you trust God enough that He will work all things out for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose? Romans 8:28. Do you believe that? Do you trust God enough that He will heal your broken heart and restore you? Do you believe it? Psalm 147:3. Do you trust God enough that He will provide for you? Philippians 4:19. Do you trust God enough that He will strengthen you and make you a slave to righteousness? Romans 6:18. Man, if you're struggling with something, Google it. Find Scripture. Read about it every day, all the time, whatever it is you're going through. Go to turn God's Word. The answer to your problems is right here. The answer to my problems is right here. Anything you're going through. Laying down something at Jesus' feet is surrendering, giving up, handing it over. Something you may love and care about greatly. And laying that down, laying down something you love and care about at the altar is not easy. Doesn't say that it's easy. Even though there may be a time to mourn and grieve and feel sorrow, God also wants us to move forward. God didn't want that past sin and that past hurt in my life to get me so bogged down that I kept focusing on that, kept just focusing on that and taking what people were saying and what people had put in my mind, right? Instead of going to God's Word and realizing that He uses filthy rags, right? He uses people that has had bad things go on in their life and sin in their life. That's what He does for His glory. Don't get me wrong, even this grieving process, it took time for me and is different for everyone. But there also needs to be a moment that we lay it down and we let it go and we get up from that kneeling at the altar and we walk back down that mountain. Guess what? That's what Abraham did. He walked back down to that mountain. And if you go back and you read, I think, verse 6 or 7, he told those men that was with him that they would return. How'd he know that? Because he put faith in God. He knew that him and Isaac was going to be coming off that mountain together. That's why he wasn't burdened down and crying and worrying about it. He was putting faith and trust in Jesus Christ, right? That's what he was doing. Some of us today need to lay down our Isaacs. What is your Isaac? We need to let it go. We need to walk away from it. We need to come back down off the mountain. Right to Jesus and His trusting arms. Because He has promised us that He'll never leave us or never forsake us. Has He not? Do you believe the promises? What is the purpose of a biblical promise? What is the purpose of a promise in God's Word? Promises were meant to be claimed. Meant to be claimed. You will never know what's on the other side if you don't give it to Him. If I had not laid down that night, I am 100% confident with every fiber in me, I wouldn't be standing up here tonight. And I'm giving the glory to Him for that. Is there something you need to lay down at the altar? Are you still kneeling at the altar? Do you need to let it go and walk away? What is holding you back from surrendering what God wants you to lay down? Fear? Lack of trust, lack of control. What's holding you back? Maybe you're sitting here right now and God is prompting you to lay something down at His feet. Then you need to pray and ask God to give you the strength to do it, because you can't do it in the flesh. That's the reason why you keep coming up there all the time and taking it back with you, because you can't do it. Just like I couldn't do it. Pray for the Lord to give you strength and courage and trust to lay it down and let Him deal with it. Ask the Lord to give you Christian family and friends to support you as you move forward. That's the purpose of this church, is to be an encouragement to people. We should not beat people up over the sins and struggles they're going through in their life. And when somebody confides in you about something personal in life, you ought not go run your mouth about it. If they wanted to make it public, they would. But we got people hurting in this church. We got people that's been through some things in this church. Instead of judging them, we ought to love on them and help them and encourage them. That's what we ought to do. Continue to read God's Word to encourage your faith and keep you focused on Him and not everything that you laid down. That night at my bed, I was by myself, and I left it all there. And I'm sure there's things in my life right now that I need to do the same for, but that's the one that's sticking, a big one in my life. It's a big one for me that I struggled with for a long time. Is there something you need to lay down? Stop kneeling. Leave it there. Get up and walk away from it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for being an encourager. I want to thank you for never leaving us, never forsaking us. I want to thank you, Lord, that a lot of times we don't understand. I don't understand. And that's okay, Lord. Help each and every person represented that's here tonight to be obedient to what it is that you've said to do. I ask that you would give courage where it's needed, encouragement where it's needed, trust where it's needed, faith where it's needed. Lord, help us to allow you to examine our heart and our mind. And if there's things that we haven't fully trusted you with, and it's bogging us down, that we would truly leave it tonight, get up from it, let it go, and walk back down that mountain. That we can be used of you and serve you to a greater capacity, and that you would get the glory for it. We're going to give you thanks for what you're going to do. We love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.